ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We're saved if we know the Lord Jesus, but we're not saved. The devil wants to take us captive to do his will and to be trophies of his conquests. The Bible says that the dead, small and great, stand before God. And there's going to be a lot of people there who were religious leaders. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who calls Lord, Lord shall be saved. But in that day, many will come, he says, many will come and say, Lord, did we not do many great works in your name? We were out there talking about you. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The Greek word for iniquity is anomos. It means without law. You're lawless ones. You don't go to the Bible and say what's right and true. You don't go to the Scriptures and say, what did Jesus say? You don't go find out what God's heart is on this, that, and the other. You're doing it your own way. These are people who are leaders now of spiritual movements. He says, you did it lawlessly. The Bible says that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And by the way, when it says a great white throne and him that sat upon it, and they're all standing in front of that throne, it says before God. Who's on that throne? You say, God. Yeah, well, who's on that throne? Jesus said, all judgment's been committed under the Son. He's the throne sitter. He's God. Check it out, chapter 1 in verse 8. He says, I am the Almighty. And he's the one sitting on that great white throne. And the Bible says, and the books were opened, and another book is the book of life. So there's books of works, and there's the book of life. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. It says it at the end of verse 13, according to their works. 12 and 13, according to their works. If people are lost, they're going to be judged according to their works because they don't have any saving grace. They don't have any saving knowledge of Jesus. So now it's all on them. Okay? So their works are works of iniquity, works of unrighteousness. You see, when a person continues to harden their heart and harden their heart and harden their heart against God, they become lawless in their behavior because they've already cast off the great plumb line of what is right and what righteousness looks like. And when you look at people today, you will see extremes in Christendom from licentiousness, which you do anything you want, to legalism, which you got to have a bunch of laws. And neither one of those are right. In the New Testament, the epistles were written to straighten out all kinds of nonsense. From people who were overly legal to people who were overly licentious. And the appeal is constantly the same. Christ is the center. Christ is the one. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says to the Corinthians, he says, I fear over you. That if somebody brings you another gospel, if somebody brings you another spirit, if somebody brings you another Jesus, you would tolerate them. You need the Jesus that's revealed in the Word of God. And that's the only way you're going to get home. That's the only way. You remember the Beatitudes, right? The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, right? Theirs and theirs alone, kingdom of God, poor in spirit. That's somebody who's bankrupt. And the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's the continuum. First of all, you're bankrupt spiritually, and then you're sad about it. I'm sad about this. And the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, if I'm mourning over my sin, I'm feeling bankrupt and I'm mourning over that, I'm going to thirst for something else, and Jesus is the righteousness that I really hunger for. I don't know that at first. I just know that I'm lost. I'm under a judgment of eternal pains and woe and everlasting destruction. I'm under a death penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Remember that? We're under a death penalty. My sin has undone me. He said, well, I'm not as bad as the next person. He didn't say that. He said, you're going to be judged according to your works. Doesn't matter whether you're in hell a little bit or a lot bit at this point. Except at this point, the people who are really bad are going to feel really bad. But the point is you are going to be responsible for your own stuff. And every judgment you made, whether it was to say, well, I will not trust Jesus. I will not tell my kids about Jesus. I will not tell my grandkids about Jesus. I will not love Jesus. And then everybody who looked up to you, your kids, your grandkids, and your wife or your husband, you had no influence but one that was contrary to God's will. And subsequently, you were saying, all that stuff doesn't matter. And that was your words, even if you never said it out loud. You did it by your daily conversation, by your daily life. The Bible says the books were opened in another book, which is the book of life. Now, when you come to the book of life, understand this. The only reason it's there is just because every possible search is going to be made to make sure there's no mistakes here. The book of life is that book of the living. It was something, if you were to trace back in the Scriptures over time, you would find over and over again that this idea of a book of life comes up. It's throughout the Old Testament. You may remember back in Exodus chapter 32 how Moses was there and they'd done that whole golden calf thing. And he goes up and God says, back off, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'll make a great nation of you. He says, no, please don't do that. The people will talk and they'll say, you failed. He says, if necessary, blot me out of your book. You say, well, there's the first occasion. That's pretty significant. Blot me out of your book. But if you were to trace it, you'd find out the idea of being blotted out of the book of the living is an idea of being blotted out of remembrance in Deuteronomy 9 and chapter 25. We have Amalek being told, people of God being told to blot Amalek's name out from under the heavens and out of remembrance. 2 Kings 14:27, God says, I will not blot out Israel, even though they deserved it. And that's the covenant you and I have. God will not blot out His children. Now look at this. It says in Psalm 69, and this is a definitive word. This is where it actually is used as the book of the living. This is where it's carried through. Blot out His remembrance. Blot me out of your book. We don't know what book He's talking about when Moses brings it up. But in 69:24, the Bible says the book of the living. And then we see in 109, He says, blot not my name out in Psalm 109. Isaiah 44 says, He blots out our sins, which is a good thing. But here's the only occasion where somebody is actually affirmed as having their name in the book of life deliberately. It's Philippians 4:3. It talks about Euodias and Syntyche, my fellow co-workers. He says, whose names are in the book of life. These women were causing a problem in Philippi, but He says their names are in the book of life. He knew that because He knew their salvation. The Bible says in Peter's writings, he says, make your calling and election of God sure. In other words, you have to know in your own heart and mind because that's what will animate you to move forward. And when it comes to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. Understand, that's the church Sardis. What was Sardis? Sardis was the church that had a reputation that was alive, but it was dead. So they're dead, right? He says, nevertheless, there are a few of you who have names, keeping your garments and so forth. He says, and I'll not blot your names out of the book of the living or the book of life. And those are set before us. And then we see over in Jude verse 12, it says those false teachers were twice dead. In other words, they were dead in their trespasses and they would ultimately be dead for eternity because they'd already cauterized their hearts and their consciences. Now, I give you that because there is a continuum that you have to mind for the book of life. Not much is told to us about it. But here what we do have is that it's going to show up at the great white throne judgment. It's going to be looked over. And when their names don't appear, the final judgment will be sentenced out. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And it says, and death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them. Death and hell represent for us the holding place that people go to until the great white throne. We get a glimpse of it in 16 of Luke, where the Bible says a rich man goes into hell and he looks up being in hell and he sees Abraham and he sees in Abraham Lazarus in his comforts and he says, you know, I'm tormented in this flame. So there's flames in Hades or the hell that's mentioned here, but there's also the lake of fire to look forward to. So the rich man's still in Hades and every person who's lost is still there until the day of the great white throne. Why? Why don't they just go right away and get them judged? Well, because the Bible says they've got to be judged out of their works. What are their works? Why? What have they done? They die. No. Billiard ball effect. You do something evil and you cause somebody else to do something evil, you get credit for that. Their evil's your evil. You see how great grace is? You see what an amazing thing Jesus did? He died for our sins. You see, if I send a kid in to, I'm Islamic, and I send a kid in to blow up some people with a bomb strapped around him, I'm culpable. I'm the one who's responsible for what he did. And that's what we do to our children. We say, oh, there, you're such a good boy, I'm so proud of you, now go out and chase skirts. Get all the exploits you can, I missed my opportunity, here, have another beer. Here, you know, yeah, don't worry about that religious thing, those people are kooks. You're responsible for what that kid did. And then that kid told his kid, so you're responsible for that too. You see, The reason they can't be judged to the end is because all the chickens haven't come home to roost yet. You see, God will have us aggravate the situation in our minds because that is what is real. And what we do is we say, well, I'll be all right. No, you won't be all right if you don't know Jesus. No, the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to go with me quickly to the book of Romans in chapter 7. Something that came into my mind about this whole second death thing. This is a passage that is admittedly a little cryptic for us. People have struggled with it through the ages. But in chapter 7 and verse 9, Paul is talking about the Christian struggle. And he says in verse 9, I was alive. I was alive without the law. In other words, before the law came into my experience, I felt pretty good about everything. I had no conscience toward evil and wrong and right. Now, this probably speaks of Paul in his youth because he was a Jewish boy. So that means he's in a Jewish society where they're bringing him up with the rabbis. But he says, I was alive once without the law. And when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The word for revived literally means to come up again and again. Okay? It revived. In other words, it was lying fallow and it always lies fallow. Now, you've heard people talk about the age of accountability, right? Never heard that? This is probably the closest we're going to get to a dissection to the age of accountability. The Bible talks earlier in Romans chapter 1 about the heathen that don't have a law and they become a law unto themselves. Okay, they have their own scruples. They know not steal, not lie. But here what we have is he said, I was alive. So here's Paul bebopping around. You remember when you were a little kid and everything was easy and innocent? You never really had any thoughts of anything. Mom and dad were good. Everything was good. But maybe one day you realized you did something wrong. You punched your brother in the face, you know, whatever you did, and you felt really bad about that. I'll tell you, one time my brother and I were in a fight, I had one of those little bats. You ever seen those little bats? They look like a billy club, but it's a little ball bat. I hit him in the head with it. You know what I remember? He ran screaming to my mom. So what'd I do? I got rid of the evidence. I threw it. It went up on the roof. My mom walked out and it come down and hit her on the head. I was in big trouble. Now, that last part may be a little embellishment. I'm not sure what happened out because the lights went out. I woke up 3 days later. But whatever happened, I threw that baby up. And it came down. And if I recall, I've been told it hit her. You see, you realize sin when you know what's right and wrong. And that's when accountability comes. Twice dead. Second death. You died when you sinned and you accepted it. Paul goes on to talk about, I heard laws that said, thou shalt not covet. He said, I would have never known lust if it wouldn't have said, thou shalt not covet. He said, I died. It revived. It doesn't mean it was alive in him before. It's alive in all of us because we are of Adam. We have a sin nature. And the moment that we come directly into contact with the laws of God and we say, I don't care about that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. Don't make any images. He says, you need to love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you say no, you say, I will not. And you compound your guilt. And the Bible says, whoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Fortunately, in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says he got to the place where he mourned, where he was poor and broken, and he mourned over his sin, and he searched for righteousness, and he found Jesus. And you, if you don't know him as your Savior, everlasting destruction awaits right around the corner. You need to trust Jesus. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.